Our scripture reading for this morning's lesson is taken from Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 18. Matthew 27 and 18, the Bible says, "For he knew that for envy they had delivered him." Once again, good morning to you. Glad that you are here for our Sunday morning worship. I want to go ahead and invite you back tonight at 5:30 as we are continuing our climb through the book of Psalms. We find ourselves on Psalm 121 this evening, talking about singing unto the holy hills. And what does that mean? We will, Lord willing, answer that tonight at 5:30. This morning, I want us to talk about three people not to envy. And yes, that is grammatically correct for those of you playing along at home. Three people not to envy. Here in our lesson text, in Matthew chapter 27, Jesus Christ is standing before Pilate to be judged. And he knows at the end of this judgment, he's ultimately going to be crucified. Now the Jewish leaders bring Jesus to Pilate on trumped up charges because they thought that Pilate could take care of what he wanted, or what they wanted. And they knew he could not be verified. Pilate understood the real reason, though, why they brought Jesus to him. It was because these Jewish leaders, they envied Jesus. And particularly, they envied the success that Jesus was having with the people and the teaching and the preaching of the gospel, because these people used to be their subjects. And these people used to bow and cower to these Jewish leaders every little whim and will. But then Jesus Christ starts preaching about the kingdom of God and the church, and then they stop listening to the Jewish leaders, and so they don't like him, and they envied him because they wanted the glory and the honor to go to them, but not to God. Elsewhere in the Bible, it tells us that some of these leaders would sit in the high seats so everybody could know when they were at these different festivities, and they would wear larger clothes and louder clothing so people would know, hey, here I am, look at me. So in our lesson text, Matthew 27, 18, he is Jesus, for he knew that for envy, they is the Jewish leaders, and delivered him, that's Jesus. Jesus Christ knew it was because of envy's sake. Your parallel passage of this is in Mark chapter 15, verse 10, says almost the same thing. He knew it was because of envy. What is envy? The American Heritage Dictionary defines the word envy as follows. It is a feeling of discontent and resentment aroused by, in conjunction with, desire for the possessions or the qualities of another. In other words, you see something that somebody has, or maybe a position in life that somebody has, and so you have these weird feelings inside of you because you wish that you had what they had. Envy is, in of itself, sinful, and a particular point is reinforced throughout the rest of the New Testament. For instance, in Romans chapter 1, verse 29, when Paul is giving a list of what the heathen Gentiles were guilty of, envy's on that list. Galatians chapter 5, verse 21, when Paul gives the works of the flesh before he follows it by the fruit of the Spirit, guess what one of them is? It's envy. And Paul lists it in Titus 3 and 3, that this is the state of the sinner before he or she obeys God. They're in an envious state. Brethren, we ought not to envy anything, because the Bible teaches us that all things belong to God. And they really do. Now, we have temporary possession of some things, but all things in all actuality belong to God, and so we don't need to envy. But we are flesh. And sometimes we see things, we think, man, I really, really wish I had that. And you dwell on that, and you become envious of that. Now, in this lesson, we're not going to tackle the thought of envy, but rather going to look at some things that God has told us not to envy. There are three people that we are not to envy, and those are the people I want us to spend the rest of our time this morning examining. So number one, person not to envy is found in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 31 and 32. We'll read it, then we'll identify him. Proverbs 3, 31. And 32. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Who is number one? Do not envy the man of violence. We don't need to envy the man of violence. Now, King James says oppressor. American Standard 1901 renders it as the man of violence. It's the same word. And man of violence may be a little bit more accurate translation on that one. It includes the oppressor, but it also includes others as well. It's a more broadening term. So we're going to look at the man of violence. Now, this may refer to a mercenary going out trying to seek vengeance on somebody else's part. It may refer to a soldier who loves killing and who loves hurting, not defending freedom or defending the right cause. Or it may refer to one who is a ruler who controls through fear and through violence. On that front, I think of maybe a modern-day drug dealer who say, well, you've been buying, but now if you quit buying from me, then we may kill you, we may burn down your house, or we may do something. We need to not envy the man of violence. So why are we talking about the man of violence? Well, you thinking, I'm not going to envy that man. That's not me, Brother Justin. I don't do that. Yet there's a tendency in our society to glorify violence and to glorify the man of violence. Some might desire the kind of glory and the kind of honor that he or she has. How do I know? You ever watch the 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock news? What are they talking about? People have gone out and done bad things. You get one or two feel-good stories because they try to have a balance. But they're just reporting you bad news. They say good evening and then they prove to you why it's not. We have a tendency as a society to glorify those that are wicked. Now let's go to Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 16. The wise man says, a gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. Some violent men are able to gain tremendous amounts of wealth in short periods of time, but yet the wise man tells us that they don't get to keep it forever. Usually what happens is they get some and then they want more and then they want more and then something happens and they end up just losing it all. Some people may see a life of violence as a quick way to personal wealth. They say, well, I really need X amount of dollars, so I'm going to go out and steal and kill and rob people until I get enough to pay off this debt, not realizing the path they're leaving for them. Sometimes people go through a life of violence because they want to cover up other sinful activities. They think, well, yes, I'm involved in this and this is awful, but maybe if I start doing this, then nobody will find out about the original problem. And some might desire just to get away with that. Maybe their desire is to rob a bank and then move to Canada and never be heard from again and claim they got away with all the money. That's why we're talking about this. Brethren, let's see what God's Word says about this man of violence. Let's go back to the beginning in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 11. Genesis 6 and 11, one of the reasons that God destroyed the world at the time of the flood, watch this, is violence. Genesis 6, 11, and the earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God destroyed the earth because of the wicked, sinful behaviors of mankind. Included in that was violence. Now let's go to the book of Psalms. Psalm number 11 and verse number 5. We see that violence is something the Lord hates. Psalm 11 and 5. The Lord trieth the righteous, but the wicked and him that loveth violence, his soul hateth. God hates those who do violence. Let's go again to the Old Testament, the weeping prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 22 and verse number 3. Jeremiah 22 and verse 3. Thus says the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoil out of the hand of the oppressor. And do no wrong. Do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in his place. God forbids violence. One more time is in Luke chapter 3 and verse 14. Here we see an example when John the Baptist was out teaching and preaching, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And as the Bible recounts for us, there are some soldiers who come up to John and they want to be baptized. And look at verse 14 of Luke 3. And the soldiers likewise demanded of John the Baptist, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." So we see both the Old and the New Testament that God does not like violence. Now what about the violent man? Why should we not envy this man of violence? Let's go back to Proverbs. I'm going to give you a spoiler alert now. We're going to spend a lot of time in Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 6. Why should we not envy the violent man? First off, it brings shame and reproach. Proverbs 19 and 6. Many will entreat the favor of the prince, and every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Wickedness, envy, brings a shame and a reproach upon a good name. The Bible also tells us in the book of Proverbs, a good name is worth more than valuable rubies, fine gold, silver. Why would you purposely do something that's going to ruin a good name? That's one. Number two, Psalm 140 and verse 11. Why should we not envy the violent man? He's going to be overthrown. He's not going to be successful in his reign forever. Psalm 140 and verse 11, "Let not an evil speaker be established on the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him." There are many reasons why I'm glad I don't live in New York City, Chicago, San Francisco, or some of these bigger cities. One of the reasons would be is they have a lot of gang activity. I don't ever watch the national news, but you'll see where some rival gang has tried to take over another gang and ends up half of them dead. You know what the psalmist says? Evil shall hunt the violent man, overthrow him. Why? Because somebody else wants to be more powerful and more wicked, and somebody else is going to come along. So their reign does not last forever. And then the ultimate answer of why we should not envy them is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 8. Ecclesiastes 5 and verse 8. Wise man says, "If thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth that there be higher than they." Why should we not envy them? Because if you picked out the most powerful wicked man in the world, there's going to be another one. And here's the best part: God is good, and God is better than all of them. So your first man to not envy is the man of violence. Number two this morning is found back in Psalm 73 in verse number 3. Psalm 73 and 3. Psalm of Asaph says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Man number one is the man of violence. Number two is the arrogant man. Brother, we don't need to be arrogant. King James says foolish. American Standard 1901 once again renders that as arrogant. The idea here is one who boasts in himself and one who believes that he is better than others. That's arrogance. "I'm better than you because I said so," is a phrase they might say and might believe to be true. Why do we have this warning? Why should we not envy the arrogant man? We understand that we don't need to think of ourselves highly than we ought to think, but yet we may be tempted to do so in a moment. The arrogant are often confident in themselves, often falsely so, and their envy. We might have envied what appears to be their confidence. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be more confident in different areas, but you may be envying the false sense of confidence that they think they have. We may envy the arrogant because they're rich. And they don't feel like they owe anybody else money, so they just keep it to themselves. We may envy them because they have respect and the attention of their peers, and it's just everybody in the world loves them, and they're jerks. We may envy that person. What does the Bible say? Well, first off, it is something that God hates. Psalm 5 and verse 5. Psalm 5:5, the foolish, the arrogant, shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Brethren, God hates arrogance. God hates the arrogant man. He says something similar in Proverbs 8 and verse 13. Another reason, why should we not envy the arrogance found in Psalm 94 and verse 4? Psalm 94 and 4, because they boast in themselves. That's what God's Word says about them. Psalm 94, 4, how long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast in themselves? Look at me. Look what I've done. Look how good I am. I'm so confident. I'm so rich. Everybody loves me. The list goes on and on and on. They boast in themselves. Oh, one more, because it works in sinful pride. Proverbs 21:24 tells us it is a sin. That's what the Bible says. Now, why should we not want to envy them? Because he will fall. You know the verse in Proverbs 16:18. A haughty spirit goes for destruction. Arrogance, pride, goes before a fall. They will tear themselves apart from the inside out. Why would you want to envy somebody who is like that? Let's go to Psalm 75, verses 4 through 7. Psalm 75 and verse 4. They're the source, they claim, of their own salvation, but they're not. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up the horn. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with a stiff neck, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor the west, nor the south, but God is judge. He putteth down one, and he'll set up another. Why shouldn't you envy them? Because they claim that they're so good that they have brought upon salvation all by themselves. Much like what we were learning about in Romans chapter 4 in our Bible class this morning, how salvation is not by our own merit, or as we put God in our debt, but we can't do that, but we must believe God and count Him for righteousness. Also in Psalm 94:23, the Bible says, He shall bring upon them their own iniquity, shall cut them off in their own wickedness, yea, the Lord our God shall cut them off. Do you ever pray in your prayers that the wicked will be defeated? I do. Why? Because the Bible says that God's going to cut the wicked off. No wicked will reign forever. It all has an expiration date. Why? Because God is good. We shouldn't want to envy the arrogant man because his reign may look good for now, and he may have everything in the world according to the world's point of view, but it's all going to come to an end. And brethren, these people are going to be punished by God. Let's go to the book of Romans now. Let's go to New Testament. Romans chapter 1. Starting in, well, verse 30 and then verse 32. Paul says, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, and inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, dropping down to verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to the same, but they have pleasure in them that do them. God will punish them for doing wicked, just like He'll punish us for doing wicked. So why would you want to envy the foolish? Why would you want to envy the arrogant? That's our second person. But since the sermon is titled Three People Not to Envy, I feel we should examine the third one. This is the sinner. I'm going to tell you now, this is the unrighteous. This is the sinner. There are a couple of passages I want us to look at, and then we'll get into it. Go back to Psalm 37 and the first two verses. Psalm 37, 1 and 2. David says, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like grass, and they shall wither as the green herb. David said, don't worry. Don't fret. Don't get overexcited. Why? They'll be cut down. Now let's go to Proverbs 23 and verse 17. Back to Proverbs 23 and verse 17. If I can't make it any plainer than what Solomon says, listen to what Solomon says, and I don't think I can. Listen. Let not thine heart envy sinners. All right, Solomon. But be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. So Solomon tells us we should not envy sinners. Go over one more chapter, chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. Be thou not envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Who is this? Evil men. Evildoers. They are workers of iniquity. They are sinners. These are people who, disengaging from all sobriety, all right thinking, they act in whatever manner they please. And they'll do it with anyone they please. And for whatever reason they please, to the gratifying, to the glorying of their own fleshly body and their own fleshly desires. Speak for sinners. They're unrighteous. Why do we have this warning? Why should we not envy the sinner? This may be the easiest one to answer. But because sin and unrighteousness are pleasurable to a degree, the Bible says, but they have no such fun. Let's go see what Hebrews chapter 11 says. I love this verse in Hebrews 11. And 25. The Hebrew writer is talking about Moses. And he, in reference to Moses, he says, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. If you've ever met somebody who is deep off in a sin, maybe they gamble. Maybe they fornicate. Maybe they commit adultery. Maybe they consume alcohol. You can put any sin in there. And if you can ever sit down and talk with them, and if they'll ever open up and start talking about it, they usually say something to the effect of, I do it for that good feeling. People consume things in their body so they get that high feeling for a while. But guess what? It's not a permanent thing. It is passing. Moses could have enjoyed sin. But he knew it was only for a season. He knew it wasn't right. So he chose rather to suffer affliction. Brethren, the sinner is the one that they get rich. They go out and party. They go out and have a good time. And then they tempt us. And I said, why don't you come along? Why don't you come drink? Why don't you come dance? Why don't you come be involved in sinful behavior? Now, they don't call it that. I said, why don't you come have a good time? Brethren, we cannot do that. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5 to avoid every appearance of evil. So what does God's word say about the righteous and the sinner? Let's go back to Proverbs. It just wouldn't be right if we didn't go to Proverbs chapter 1, verses 10 through 15. Proverbs 1 and verse 10, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, and let us wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive as in the grave, and whole as those who go down into the pit, we shall find all precious substance, and we shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us, and we'll all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them, refrain thy foot from their path. What does Solomon say? If sinners are trying to get you to go out and join in their sinful behavior, you don't do it. No matter how good, how fun, how enticing it might sound. And it may not. But he says, my son, don't do it. The wicked, they don't stand with God's people. You remember Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not, standeth not, or sitteth not. Verse 5 says, the wicked do not stand with God's people. So wicked are commanded to repent, commanded to be pure, to be clean. James tells us that, James 4 and verse 8. So why should we not envy the sinner? Well, we go back to Psalm 37 and 2, which we read at the beginning of this point. They will be cut off. They will not continue in their wicked life forever. We do not envy them, then our reward will not be cut off. We want to go to heaven. At least I think we do. That's why all of us are here this morning. So why should we want to do anything that would cause us to miss that goal? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 28, please. Isaiah 1 and verse 28. Here's your good reason not to envy the sinner. They're going to be destroyed. As if being cut off was not harsh enough. Watch this. And the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together. They that forsake the Lord shall be consumed. They will not continue in that lifestyle forever. And let's go to the last book of the Bible, the second to last chapter, Revelation 21 and verse 8. John's not playing games. I'm not playing games either. Watch this. Revelation 21 and 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters. End of the verse, right? That's it. No. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Brethren, why should we not envy the sinner? Because their home is an eternal hell, where their worm dieth not, where their fire is not quenched. That's a personal term. Their own worm, their own fire. It doesn't go away. There's no purgatory. There's no burning off sins. We don't find that concept anywhere in the Word of God. Why would you want to envy a sinner? We don't want to envy a sinner. We don't want to envy an arrogant man. We don't want to envy a man of violence. I know what you're thinking. All right, it's easy for me to not envy that arrogant man. It's easy for me to not envy that violent man. But I know Romans 3:23, you're saying to yourself, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So where does that leave me? Jesus Christ. But if you continue verse 23 of Romans chapter 6, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. You could head down that path of destruction, or thanks to the grace of God, you can live a life eternally in heaven and have the exact opposite of the last points about the sinner. How do you do that? Well, first off, you have to hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Upon that, you have to believe it's true. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 8, verse 24, watch what he said. Unless you believe that I am he that is the Son of God, you shall die in your sins. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned or condemned. Hear, believe, then you have to repent. Luke 13:3, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. Jesus says the exact same thing two verses later, verse 5. In school, if the teacher repeats it, it's important. Jesus Christ has said you must repent or perish twice. That is important. Repentance is changing our mind that results in a change in actions. That's saying I was sinning, but now I'm turned the other way and I'm not. Upon that repentance, you confess the name of Jesus, Matthew 10:32. If you confess me, Jesus says, I'll confess you before God the Father. Verse 33, if you deny me, I'll deny you. Then upon that confession, you're baptized. Go in that watery grave, you come up a new creature, alive in Christ. Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized will be saved. And then you remain faithful in death. Revelation 2:10, you receive that crown of life. I hope I have painted a vivid picture through the Word of God of three people, not too many. More importantly, I hope that you're living a faithful life for God. If you're not, if you've never obeyed the gospel, why not come forward this morning and be baptized for the remission of sins? If you have, keep going. If sin is into your life, why not come back this morning and leave this building in a right relationship with God? If we can help you in any way at all, whatever your need may be, please let it be known while we stand and while we stand.